Hey everyone, in this episode, me and Micah discuss physical versus digital merch. Basically like wearables and other physical collectibles that are coming with NFT projects. We talk about the Moonbirds debacle, you know, the socks and the fanny pack that people were very disappointed with and caused the Moonbirds floor to retrace pretty heavily. We also discuss Artifact and 10KTF, their digital versus physical collectibles, Azuki as well. And last but not least, Gary V's V-Friends 2 collectibles physical drop that got awarded to anybody that minted V-Friends 2. And the fact that those are actually selling on eBay right now, which is very, very interesting for the NFT and physical versus digital collectibles market. As usual, our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app. If you spend over $200 on crypto on FTX, you'll get a $20 bonus if you use our code. Hope you enjoy the show. In this episode, we are discussing physical NFT drops. Is it a gimmick or does it actually add value? As usual, nothing in this video is financial advice. We are not financial advisors. The NFT space is incredibly risky, so always do your own research. And if you enjoy the content, hit the like button and smash the subscribe button. It really helps us out. As always, our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app. If you spend over $200 on a cryptocurrency of your choice, you will get $20 for free for when you use our code. Micah G, we're talking about physical NFT merch, really. In other words, NFT-related objects and or objects, products that are in the physical world. A couple major brands in the NFT space come to mind. The first one that we're going to talk about here is Artifact. So what's going on?
Yeah, so I thought of this a little bit last week when, you know, when I think it was Friday or Thursday, we had just these big players in the NFT space all decide to drop physical merch or get physical merch set up. So just it seemed like the right time to talk about. We have these established brands now. We have that as a roadmap item potentially to have physical, you know, rewards to holders. So I think it's worth it to talk about like what is that, like how does it add value or like what do these end up doing for people? This one, I don't think went very well. So I'm interested to hear from holders of this stuff. I'm not a Artifact clone holder, but basically they dropped this AR hoodie. I don't know what you think about it. I think it looks okay. You know, it looks, it's kind of cool that it has some like QR codes and stuff. But the problem is you have people that are holding these clone X's and those things are, you know, $10,000, $12,000 right now. They've been much higher. And then you see this thing show up and it requires you to pay an additional $300. And the mint cap is 8888 items. There are more clone X's than that number. But then on top of it, Nike and Artifact decided to also allow owners of CryptoKicks to buy some of these. So suddenly you have people whose floor price is 0.88. Competing with people whose floor price of what they've paid is 10 times that. And it was just kind of like a mad dash for supply. So this one, I was not a huge fan of. It's kind of an interesting concept, but it does scare me a little bit that Nike doesn't seem to care about like rewarding people that are more invested in their ecosystem, right? If I'm a Clone X holder right now, I'm a little scared that not only did they charge me more money, I've already spent a ton of money to get into their ecosystem, and now they're like, hey, you can buy this hoodie, but also you're going to pay full price for it. You're going to pay $300 for this hoodie. But then it's not even rewarding the high expensive holders of Clone X's more than it is rewarding people who bought a CryptoKicks. So this drop, I don't know the overall community of people in the comments who are more invested want to say, no, Micah, this was an awesome drop. We think they nailed it. But this last week to me was kind of like, is Nike just going to be milking people for money? Like using the fact that you own a Clone X and you're in deep, are they just going to milk you for more money? Or are they really interested in rewarding holders of their products? So that's my worry with this one.
Yeah. So my thought is the top two metaverse wearable, which seems to be the phrase, the term that we use is metaverse wearable brands in the NFT space are Artifact, obviously having you know, been working on this stuff since I believe 2018 is when Artifact got started. So they deserve, you know, they started in the bear market and just went and went and went and developed this insane brand and this crazy technology. I mean, look, they are no joke, right? The AR technology, all the stuff that they've done, like Artifact is a big brand. The other one is 10KTF. So those are the top two metaverse wearable companies. One of them was purchased by Nike. That's Artifact. The other one, 10KTF, has had partnerships with Gucci so far. I think that there's a partnership with Otherside, Otherdeed, Gaio Siri is on the founding team, Beeple is on the founding team. It's an all-star team. So those are the top two. The difference between the two is that the 10KTF ecosystem is way tighter. It's way tighter. There's way fewer NFTs. It's super simple. It's just that you get the Gucci collection. That was the only other thing. That's interesting in itself because it's Gucci, right? Gucci is an actual premium brand that falls into the collectibles direction, the collectible space on its own, right? Just having a Gucci thing makes it have value if it's a real Gucci thing or a limited collection by Gucci. The same thing would go for a number of other brands. On top of that, they made it so that you could Gucci-fy your profile picture. So you have these cool Gucci Bored Apes wearing these wild cowboy outfits, like this crazy stuff. It's cool stuff. My thoughts about Artifact as a non-holder, as someone that doesn't spend my day researching the hell out of Artifact, but knowing what I know about Artifact is that there's a lot of items in Artifact in the ecosystem. I won a space pod at NFT NYC at the DGen Arcade event. Shout out to Tony and to ArtsoFly. So that was like a one ETH win, right? And I ended up selling that for one ETH. I think I'm almost positive that the space pod is under one ETH now. So you got the clones, you got the crypto dunks, you got the hoodie, you got the space pod, you got, there's more too. There's the box, whatever that, yeah, the monolith.
The dunks come from the box, but then there's other stuff in the box and additional boxes. And that's part of the hard part is the more you split up that ecosystem, kind of what I said of like, why do crypto dunks get to also participate in the same drop as the like parent NFT, is the more complex you get, the more you have to reward everyone, but also you have to reward everyone slightly differently. Like Bored Apes do it correctly, where they said mutant apes are part of the ecosystem, but when we do a drop of merch, they don't allow mutants to buy the same stuff as apes, right? So I think that the more complex you make it, you also have to say, if I'm a Bored Ape owner and I spent 200K on an asset, somebody who spent 30K on a mutant should not get the exact same benefits as me. And so it does become more difficult the more you dilute. It's like, how do you deliver value to everyone, but also not piss off the people who spent the most money to get into your club? And now when you're saying that this is utility, you're not actually rewarding the people who have invested highly in your club. So yeah, I think it makes it very difficult the more you like pixel vault it out. Pixel vault's maybe the biggest example of just printing to oblivion.
Pixel Vault is the example people bring up, but actually the example applies to basically every collection, including Bored Ape Yacht Club. Bored Ape Yacht Club dropped 100,000 pieces of land, and they're going to drop 100,000 more. So the blink reaction by the NFT market to this is the supply is out of control. This is ridiculous, blah, 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 blah. My counterpoint to that is that these brands are forward thinking. We're in a bear market now. It's not like the space is exploding right now. And as long as you don't continue to expand that supply, you're going to be good. So I want to actually call out a few comments by my guy Press, who has a, want to talk about a wearable. He's got a Gucci M3 Mutant because he's friends with Asherah, who has that M3 Mutant. So that's insane. That's about as cool as you could possibly get for a PFP. It's unbelievable. Press said, just wait until celebrities and influencers are making stories and posts on Instagram, TikTok, etc., wearing AR as an augmented reality digital fashion. That's when you'll see this stuff blow up. I agree, Press, 1,000%. The thing is, you have to zoom out to see that. And Press is waiting. I found out who Press was because he made comments like this that were right on the money, because Press has the ability to zoom out. Day to day, the NFT market has the opposite of the ability to zoom out. I made some posts about NFTs and gaming today, and people were responding saying video games are never going to use NFTs. That's an example of not zooming out. That's 1996 saying the travel industry is never going to use the internet. It's just the same thing, right? But the thing is that day to day, it's going to feel like a long time before you get to the point where those celebrities are posting this stuff and before this stuff is coveted by participants that aren't in the NFT market right now. So basically what you need for that is you need mass expansion and exposure of the NFT market, which is not happening right now, and it's not going to happen during a bear market. It's just not how it works. Why the hell would it happen during a bear market? You'll get the gradual expansion. You know, our YouTube subscribers are slowly going up. Our Twitter followers are slowly going up. There's expansion, but you don't get these explosions unless there's big expansion. And what's the problem? Artifact might keep putting, like Nike and Artifact may keep putting out more NFTs because that's how Nike works. They spent a lot of money on Artifact. It hasn't been publicly disclosed how much money they spent, but I know how much they spent. But anyway, it's a lot of dough. And, you know, they need to get return on that investment. And what product does Artifact sell? They sell NFTs. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there's more Artifact NFT collections or projects that come out. And then that's the problem, is you don't have the audience expansion. In other words, the increased demand, but you have the increased supply. And that's what a lot of projects have done. That's my fear. But the next thing Press said real quick is, yes, the first Nike and Artifact hoodie may not have had the best minting experience. By the way, I don't think that minting experience actually matters when it's a really good actual NFT. I just chalk it up as a mistake. Who cares? But those hoodies are going to be highly coveted in a few years. So he's talking about the Pure Play collectible, the first ever digital Nike hoodie by Artifact. I agree with you. But how many NFTs are they going to put out before we get to that point that this is a grailed collectible? That's the question.
Or is he saying that the physical, like the actual one that you redeem for that you physically wear, is going to be a thing? Because that is the case with early Bored Ape merch. Like if you can get the red hat from the first Bored Ape drop, you know, you can get that original Bored Ape hoodie. Those are worth a lot, but you can have a lot of dilution on future collections. So it's a problem of, okay, so he's saying both. So both the NFT side of it, cool, it's AR stuff. But I'm talking about, like, is that physical shirt or that physical hoodie going to actually be a value add? Or did you just get tricked into buying Nike stuff because you own the NFT and you're in too deep? That's the same thing. Like other examples I have here is like Adidas, right? Adidas had that, you know, that drop with a bunch of different, it was collab with like Bored Ape, collab with, you know, a couple other teams. And it was that nasty neon yellow tracksuit. And so it's like, were we just buying that? Like they couldn't sell it on the open market. So they said, let's just put some NFT stuff on it. And suddenly we have a new market of people that will just buy it because, you know, we have this extra supply. So I do worry about with those big brands when they're kind of using NFT people as exit liquidity rather than rewarding them with collections. So I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but that's just my concern when you're charging for it. The next one to pivot to though is Azuki. Also came out with a collection almost the exact same day or redeemable. This is not my style, but they did it completely free, paid for shipping. It was an airdrop to holders. So this is an example of them not milking from the community. But
did you send me the link to that? Am I missing that?
Yeah, it's below it a little bit. Adidas. It's called Twin Tiger.
Twin Tiger. Okay.
Yeah. I can try to find it for you, but they did this drop, Twin Tiger jacket, I think it's called. Yeah, I'll try to send it to you.
We're pulling it up. As you can see, for some reason, my OpenSea always brings me to, what's it called? To Pixelmon. All right. So here's the Twin Tiger. You get the red and the blue.
Yep. So this was, so the red
were $32.
Well, no. So the red means they already redeemed the physical jacket. Even if you pull it up on Twitter, you can see like examples of the actual one that they're delivering. So the blue one is the actual thing that you'll be getting as a physical version. It's not exactly my style, but when we talked about Azuki, like they just have their own style. When we were in New York, it was like a lot of like their party was very good. Correct. That's everything I heard was like their partying was very good. They have a lot of like, a lot of like more trendy people involved in the ecosystem. And for somebody that's saying we want to be a brand, the fact that they're not milking you, they're not saying like, oh, we'll give you a chance to buy this from us. The fact that it's like, hey, you're a holder, which means you just get this item and we'll give you a chance to sell it on the secondary market, because they airdrop the NFT to all the holders. The holders have a chance to say, this is not my style, and sell it off on the open market, or wait around and redeem it for this jacket. And then the NFT turns into the red redeem jacket. But this to me is the proper way to do it, which is to say, you're just going to get our merchandise first, and you'll have the option of selling it along, or you'll have the option of redeeming it. And to me, although they're not an established brand yet, this is the proper way to reward your holders in the meantime. And then later on, if you do actually pick up, and people on TikTok, influencers are getting into this and sharing your fashion brand, then the ability to have easier access to the physicals by owning an NFT actually does drive value to the NFT. So I like the way they're set up. Obviously, we have our own feelings about Azuki because of the previous scams and issues with team members. But just as a drop, this to me was the cleanest one of that week. I don't know what you think about the style here, but just the fact that they just gave it to holders. They didn't charge them for shipping. They didn't charge them for the price of it. And you had the option to sell it on the secondary market for whatever that is, like $180, $200. I don't know. It just seemed clean. So
I think it's dope. I think that it's a really good jacket. I mean, it would be louder than what I'd normally be wearing, but now that I live in New York again, I could easily just wear this. Couldn't wear this in Boston without getting a couple of looks from the normal Boston people, but in New York, this fits right in. I think it goes crazy. I think it's dope. The only problem with Azuki is this backstory of the guy being a serial rug pull, but excuse me, apparently they're continuing with Azuki. It's still a thing. And
they're not going to pull it yet. I mean, it's going relatively well and the floor is stabilized, so you don't immediately have to worry about him rug pulling while things are going decently. So
what's the floor of Azuki? I mean, like, is this thing like a buy right now?
It's 10?
It's 8.75. So everything's just going down.
But that's the same price as the clone, right? Like you could, it's one or the other. A clone's are at 8.88. So between those two, I don't know. I mean, I'm just nervous about Nike milking anyone who owns a clone for more money. Well, Azuki seems to actually be Web3 native, doing right by their community. So
the art on Azuki is insane. It really is so damn good. Whoever this artist is, we should know their name, because the art on Azuki is completely bonkers for a PFP collection. You don't just roll out of bed and make a themed PFP collection that basically reaches blue chip levels solely based on the art. It ain't because of Zagabond. That's not why it reached blue chip status. So this is fantastic art. Jason Connors said, I love Azuki. Now, I've always thought the art was good. I don't think that the founder, Zagabond, who I've gone on record saying just took all the money, or at least most of it. You got to understand how much money this project has made. It's made an outrageous, like unfathomable amount of money. It was just trading at 30 Ethereum when Ethereum was at $3,000 with what, like a 6 or 7% royalty after a one ETH primary sale on a 10,000 piece collection. They print money. They print money over there. They threw a couple parties and they made a couple of jackets. Other than that, where's the money, right? But that's unfortunately the broader NFT space. Anyway, yeah, I mean, good job, Azuki.
All right, so the third one that came out was Moonbirds. So Moonbirds had the non-physical reveal of their so this one,
our very own Node repping the Moonbirds merch. He's so about it.
I kind of like that. It looks decently good. Okay, so I'm the fanny pack that you actually get. Okay, so the backstory: Moonbirds had this nesting where you basically had to take your NFT out of circulation for an amount of time. I think it was like 45 days or something, 30 days. Someone can correct me in the comments. But essentially, you're staking your NFT, taking it out of the supply, probably helping the floor price because you're not selling. And in return, your bird is like gaining these levels. So you could become a bronze staker, a bronze nester, a silver nester. So they come out with the rewards for bronze and silver. And the bronze reward is socks and a little pin that's like a bronze reward pin. I sent you that Twitter one as well of their like Michelin. I just wanted to put a note in there, rocking it.
Oh yeah, I mean, he's looking hard as fuck, right?
But yeah, I've got so the other tweet has the actual merchandise, but essentially it's you get a pin and you get socks for holding it a certain amount of time, and for holding it longer than that, like the entire staking time, you got a fanny pack and you got a silver pin. In the meantime, the floor price of Moonbirds is down probably $8,000 to $10,000. So you decided
just like
not,
that.
You deciding not to sell, you get a fanny pack and socks and two pins, and basically you lose out on $8,000. So I think the danger here is that they sort of said nesting was like a super cool thing. It might still be a cool thing, but they've shown with their first reveal of what you get from nesting that it shouldn't be that much of a draw for people to nest and not list their items. So I'm a little worried that like this just underwhelming immediately on the what you get for basically promising not to sell your Moonbird. I'm worried that some people are just going to say the next time they have a chance to take profit, they're not going to be scared to unnest their Moonbird and sell it because they've seen what you get and it's just not that impressive. So I'm not saying they did anything wrong with the rollout. Like I'm sure it was clean. It was smooth. Their UI is very good, but this is just kind of the danger of physicals just being like, you know, compared to the money that you spend on these NFTs, it's very hard to say like, I'm really glad I got those socks instead of selling my Moonbird. So Node is trying to play it off like he's happy with his decision, but he's inside. He might have wished he sold that Moonbird.
No, Node is comfortable holding this stuff. And, you know, with Kevin Rose, people like betting on Kevin Rose for sure. The NFT market, a lot of times, like, what do I get? What do I get? What do I get? Well, guess what? The answer is always you get nothing. Like that's the answer is like, maybe you get an airdrop during airdrop season and that's worth money on the secondary market. But even with what do you get for buying a Bored Ape right now? What do you get, right? You're in the club. Okay, cool. Sounds good. Like that's awesome. You're in the club. You're in the Moonbirds club. If you get the Moonbird, that's what you get. And when High Rise comes out, which is his metaverse project, when Proof of Conference comes out, which is the conference that is definitely going to become like a top four NFT conference as soon as Kevin Rose rolls it out. I'm assuming 2023 will be the first year of that. You know, it'll be, I think NFT NYC is maybe going to get like washed by Proof of Conference, a separated Ape Fest, VCon, and Art Basel. But maybe, I mean, people like going to New York. New York's kind of the center of the finance and NFT world. NFT NYC might still be around. But yeah, I mean, look, this was underwhelming. I don't think that anybody would have bought the Moonbird for the merch. But like, for example, I bought a Crash Test Joyride. I bought back in and bought a Crash Test Joyride because it's like a legit streetwear brand. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to buy this $90 NFT and I'm going to buy, you know, get the merch. They're going to like send me one hoodie or whatever as well. But like, regardless, like, you know, I bought that, but that's not a $26,000 asset after the correction, right? So the Moonbirds were 40K before this correction. Now they're 26K. I just think that this is typical NFT market behavior compounded by the bear market. And this is why NFTs are so high risk, high reward. Somebody might have bought a Moonbird at 28 ETH floor and now it's 19 ETH floor. And it's like, tough luck, buddy. Like, that's just how it goes. Like, that's just what it is. I don't think that the roadmap for Moonbirds is more fanny pack socks gear as major news events for the project.
Yeah, and that's not an overall like FUD on Moonbirds. It's just a matter of like when we talk about physicals and how much you can expect like, oh, this project has great physicals. That's one of the roadmap items. I'm so excited about what it's going to do for the project. I think even for these big projects, they have a hard time having the physicals have any sort of like product like impact where people are like, man, I'm so glad I'm in the NFT just for the physicals. So I think it's dangerous to over rely on that. Like they need to have other things going on like proof or saying that we're going to have some sort of merch drop we've seen in these use cases does not move the needle. Now there's some other stuff that I wanted to kind of like highlight here of other physical situations. One that came out in the last week that I've been monitoring is that the Gutter Cats have a team in the basketball tournament and it's a number one seed. I didn't even realize, like, I don't know if
they're balling,
like,
baby.
I don't know if they bought the best players or something, but I saw, like, I see them on ESPN. So that's like the gear looks cool. Like, they have merch on the store. It, like, doesn't that look so cool? The thing
Gutter Cats has impressed the shit out of me, man. Like, they really have. Like, that event at NFT NYC, I know that people that didn't go to NFT NYC that are NFT market participants might not be able to grasp why I would be so excited about an IRL event, but you just went there and it was just good. Like, it just was good. They rented that famous basketball truck. They had actual good hoopers that could dunk, like they had hops, dude. They could dunk so well, throwing alley-oops to each other, you know, hitting jump shots, but who cares about that? It was all about the dunking and the dribbling. And it was just cool. And you could play them 2-on-2 if you wanted to. Like, you could go and challenge them. So some regular guys challenged them, got their asses kicked. And it was a block party in Soho next to the store Stadium Goods, which is like a dope streetwear store. It was just good. It was just a cool, fun event. Gutter Cats, man, they're impressive. They're running a business. They're not going anywhere. Very, very cool stuff. What's the Florida and Gutter Cat?
I don't know. I mean, like 3 point something or 4 point something, but this is the right way
six
to do it, though.
Point something,
oh,
sir.
Six, dang. Well, mm-hmm. But you can get similar use cases out of like the dogs, right? I would actually probably do a dog if they get the same utility. I think I'd rather have a gutter dog than a gutter cat. But I think this is an interesting use case. Is they're getting their merch out there, and you're not necessarily being like, it's not token gated to Gutter Cat owners. But I think the fact that you could get normal people wearing Gutter Cat jerseys and wearing Gutter Cat shirts and just thinking it's a kick ass brand, and then you can have exclusive stuff for your community. This feels like a more sustainable way for them to just get the brand out there and potentially, right, mainstream Gutter Cats, and then have exclusive merch when it's actually like a known quantity. So I love what they're doing. This one was kind of like out of left field that they bought a team, but it looks good. Like, I think just regular people would buy this merchandise, and that it helps the brand.
They're making me want to buy the jersey, but then I feel like I would be a poser if I wore it because I don't have a Gutter Cat. So that's like the only challenge for me.
Looks like you gotta buy a Gutter Cat.
Gotta go spend $11,000 on a Gutter Cat. Benjamin just said Gutter Cats have the best merch in NFTs. I tend to agree. All right, I mean, look here. Wow, we're doing this real quick. Yo, I just got to show you guys something real quick. Crash says Joyride. People are gonna laugh their tails off when they see me talking about this right now. But check it out. They dropped their. It's not merch. It's a collection. It's a streetwear collection. Check this out. I mean, all right, socks and tags. Hold on. Let me just get to the clothes.
I want a good shirt, or like a hoodie.
You like a hoodie?
But no, not like that. Never mind. I like the ones, like a lighter, like, okay, this shirt. Yeah, the shirt. Okay.
It's a streetwear brand, like a legit one. You know what I mean? Like, cool people would wear these clothes. I know a lot of people in the NFT space are like, well, I'm not cool. So maybe it's the wrong market, but they went and they did what they wanted to do. They made like some pretty dope.
Is that what you're supposed to wear for the bottoms there? Or are they just, that looks like they're missing pants.
Cool people don't wear pants.
Okay.
Cool people do not wear pants.
I learned something new.
All right. Anyway, moving on. I mean, look, it's dope. Moving on. What do we got next, Micah?
So one that I wanted to point out, this is like an opposite play. So 10KTF that we talked about earlier, 10KTF a while back, the end of last year, teased physical merch. And then they completely pivoted away from it. So, and it seems to have done really well for them. So they have this tweet back from like this. I sent you it, but
I know it's so hard to Discord makes it a goddamn nightmare to paste a damn Twitter link.
Paste it over. Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, but anyway, go ahead. Go ahead.
But anyway, so in December they post this link and it shows two of the physical backpack packs. I'm not saying like press saying that they will happen. I'm not saying they won't, but I think it was a very interesting and in this case pretty successful choice to just pivot away and just say, okay, let's do the game. Let's focus on, you know, they have all sorts of stuff related to gamification and staking your assets. So I'm not saying that physicals will not happen in the future for them, but it has been a very successful pivot for them to instead focus on just doing the virtual reality side of things. So they seem to be connected to other side. They might be a really good like virtual asset there. And I think it's actually helped them to not focus on physicals right now. So I think they're an opposite use case of like be really good in the metaverse, be really good online, set up that infrastructure, and don't just immediately try to turn it into physicals and put all your like, you know, important stuff in the kit. It does sound like it's coming. So I think that's a cool one. If you're like, really want to get into it, it sounds like it'd be really tough because it's one of ones, right? You can't even like print out. If people want to get their own asset, it might end up being super expensive. So I like them more as a virtual reality play than a physical merch play, but it's just a cool concept, and they haven't talked about it in 7 months now. Like, they haven't tweeted about it. So just something to be aware of.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to come eventually. I bet those backpacks are going to be made with like the best material when you get the back. It's probably gonna be $150 backpack or like a $200 backpack. It's going to be sick. The hoodie's going to be sick. Everything's going to be dope. Right? Like, people are over here saying in the comments, they're like, you can just print your stuff on clothes. Yeah, that's how it works, right? Like, they're saying print your own merch.
Boom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure NBA players are like, well, I can just print it. I can just print it on the clothes. No, like, that's ridiculous. These are going to be premium brands, right? And the thing you're banking on is crossover. I've seen a lot of people say, yeah, but only people in the NFT space care about them. The ones that win are going to have crossover appeal. And if you think that crossover appeal is impossible, well, Doodles just hired Pharrell. So Pharrell's on the Doodles team. If Doodles put out more merch, you might see Pharrell wear the merch. All of a sudden, people are saying, what's Pharrell wearing? That's how it's going to happen.
Shit.
Kevin Hart...
Oh, I was going to say, if people signs those backpacks for 10K TF, then they take off.
Yeah, Benjamin just said LaMelo Ball and other NBA players, but I mean, LaMelo Ball is a huge name to drop, wear Gutter Cat sneakers while they're playing. So it'll be a slow burn. It'll be a slow drip. There's really strange, almost feels manipulated narratives in the mainstream media surrounding NFTs that are really weird and, in my opinion, kind of come from a very random place. And I think a lot of people in the NFT space don't really consume mainstream media. I think people in the NFT space are kind of like internet native and have their own media sources. So that's why they're not really impacted by that. But then you get the mainstream media people consuming this kind of weird content towards NFTs, and it makes these like weird narratives. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter, because this all NFTs are is like superior technology, and we always adopt superior technology. So the technology is going to be adopted, and then it'll be on individual brands to be a crossover hit. Like, do I think that Crash Test Joyride will become like a crossover hit with like the mainstream? I wouldn't put my money on that before Doodles, since they have Pharrell on the team, right? Or 10KTF, because Guy Osiri is a founder and Guy Osiri knows everybody. So he'll probably be able to get in front of somebody, right? You have to have faith that people are able to make like one dope thing. Like, if 10KTF ever just makes one dope thing, and then that one dope thing is worn by one trendsetter person, there you go. So you got to zoom out with all this stuff. Is this going to happen tomorrow? No. Is it going to happen next week? No, absolutely not. And my dog's biting the cord here. But yeah, that's the way to think about it. I think that in real life, 10KTF stuff is dope. But what I'm more excited about when it comes to 10KTF is the way that they're operating in Web3, in the digitally native place. Benjamin just brought up Cool Cats. Dude, Cool Cats has like this opportunity for toys and collectibles. That to me is like this all-time level opportunity. I feel like if you're like, pay attention, because I feel like they're going to crush that. That IP, we've been saying that IP is so valuable. It's so attractive to different demographics, different age groups, different cultures, different parts of the world. As long as Cool Cats continues to move on a trajectory, just business-wise, towards growing their audience, raising awareness, doing quasi-innovative stuff with media and IP, you'll see that stuff take off like wildfire, just like other brands like Hello Kitty, for example, that have had that happen. So that's how you see NFT brands become crossover hits. It doesn't mean every NFT brand is going to be a crossover hit. It doesn't mean your stupid NFT project you bought the other day is going to be a crossover hit. But it no matter what, it will happen to somebody, you know?
Yeah. And that, like, when we talk about, because we're a lot into like trading, like trying to trade this, trying to flip this, like how is this going to become more valuable or make an NFT more valuable? Like, that's how I think about it, is looking at these physicals to say, like, is there going to be a winner? Is that going to be a valuable winner? And I think you're right that one of these is going to cross over. One of these is going to be seen as like an elite. Oh, you were early. You were, you know, these are high value assets. Like when you talk about wearing a Bored Ape hoodie, you're kind of projecting that you have a $100,000-$120,000 asset at a minimum. You know, that you've played around with big money. And I like those. I would say, just from a trading perspective, I like betting on those, trying to figure out what crossover, what Web3 native crossover wins, than I do betting on Adidas or Nike or Gucci. Tried to, with Gucci Grail, they tried to sell people a Gucci product afterwards at full price. Like they were just like, okay, you can get our item at full price. And it's like, so I think those Web2 brands are trying to use it as an extraction technique. And what I'm interested in is trying to find that physical brand where you buy it before it's a thing. So I know that this may be unpopular with some people, but like, I'm not that interested in Artifact, having seen how that drop went. I'm not that interested in Adidas and trying to sell us these track pants, but I am interested in somebody like Gutter Cats or Cool Cats breaking through and being seen as a real brand. And then when you own those assets and you have easy access to new assets, maybe preferred access to new assets, that suddenly that actually has a value add as an NFT. So that's just finding the right one, because a lot of them are going to fail. But if you find the right one that can cross over and have celebrities wearing it, have people rocking it, like, I think there is an investment point in that, even in this bear market. So that's the one I'm looking for.
That Gutter merch goes crazy, man. And on the stuff that you said about like the extraction and everything, look, Gucci, I can give a pass to and say, all right, Gucci, you're charging us for the thing. But you know what I'm going to say? It better be like a signature thing that people actually care about. Like when Nike re-releases the Nike Infrareds, the infrared Air Max 90s, and the whole sneaker community is like, oh shit, they're doing a re-release of the Air Max 90s. That's crazy, right? It better be like that. And the only way to get it better be the NFT.
Yep.
That's like, if I'm in a room with Gucci, I'm saying that's it. What's something you haven't released in so long that people have been asking you to release? Oh, the Gucci 1976 loafers. Okay, cool. So if you release those, everybody in the fashion world is going to be all excited about it. Oh, yeah, yeah, to say the least. Yeah, they're going to be really excited about it. Okay, cool. You have to buy the NFT to get those, period. And you're not going to re-release them for another 10 years after that. Well, we can't do that. Yeah, you can. That's what you have to do. Do it. That was me. You just got free consulting there, Gucci. Okay.
That's the bull case. That's the bull case, is if they truly, like, brands are willing to do that. And that's what we're hoping to see, is like, if you get a Web3 native brand, they understand that. And they're going to say, we have to reward our holders first. We have to make it, you know, a funnel from us to our holders, to the general population. I'm worried Nike would not do that. I've seen it with like Jeff Staple didn't do it. Jeff Staple.
Okay.
Like,
you brought it up.
Okay, I'm doing it. It's like Jeff Staple's like, oh, we got a few of this Croc brand for our holders, and the rest going to the regular market. And it's like, why the hell do we buy your NFT then? Like, we put in $1,000, and yeah, it was like this pigeon drop that just like basically they didn't give people. So,
how much is it? This is $25,000. So this is NFT prices. The NFT market's used to paying this much for stuff. All right, I guess we're doing it. We're airing it out. Jeff Staple, make it so that you release this again. Do another release. The whole sneaker world's like, holy shit. This guy, Jeff Staple, is really dropping this iconic sneaker that everybody wants again, right? Make it so you have to have Stapleverse to buy it. That's it. My thing is like, you made so much money on the primary sale. And I know that people from that world will be like, it wasn't that much money to me. It was. Let's be real. It was. It was a lot of money for a digital asset. It just was. There wasn't any overhead. There wasn't a bunch of products in factories. You didn't have to go to another country to check on the manufacturing and evaluate the materials. You hired like a software engineer, a couple software engineers. You hired a few designers. You had some meetings and you made some digital assets. And you made millions of dollars. And people bought them as like an investment. It wasn't just like a piece of art. Like, that's what it was. my rule is you can't do another NFT ever again unless you do you give value to the first NFT. All he has to do is put the sneaker out again. Everyone's going to crap their pants. They're all going to be like, oh my God, it's coming out again. This is unbelievable. The return of an icon. But you have to have the NFT. That's it. It's that easy. That's you using the value you can create and transferring it to the NFT. Gary V did this. You can buy a V friend and go watch a basketball game with Gary courtside. The V friend cost, I don't know, 20 grand, 30 grand to do that. People bought it. Gary's people get him the ticket, maybe even for free to the game, or maybe he pays $1,000, but I don't know. He's got connections. Vayner Sports, AJ Vaynerchuk, come on. They can get a ticket to a Knicks game. Gary donates 2.5 hours of time sitting next to you at the basketball game. You're probably pitching him. You're probably asking for advice. You're probably trying to foster some sort of business relationship with Gary. But the point is, he takes the value he can create, his time, his presence, his attention, and he transfers it to the NFT holder. That's how you do it, you know? And that's why I always say, like, a ticketing company that has relationships with the UFC could put out a ticketing NFT, raise a bunch of money. They get the best deals on tickets because they have the relationship, the wholesale relationship, just like a liquor store has a wholesale relationship with a wine company, and then they sell you the wine for 2.5 times what they pay for it. They can then airdrop you NFTs of tickets. They're going to get money on that royalty, by the way, when those airdrops change hands. And the rares are cage side tickets and the commons are nosebleeds. And that's it. It's all on NFTs, all royalties. Just dive in, legacy brands. You got to dive in all the way. There's no half stepping in NFTs. And there's no half stepping.
The point you made of the difference between Gary V and Jeff Staple is so important, which is Gary V is going to do what he can to drive value to those NFTs. He understands that people invested in them and he's taking it personally. So whether or not it works, some of the stuff does not work. It's getting very diluted, but like Gary V is actually going to try for his NFT holders. And before you invest in these brands, you have to check if when they build new stuff, if they're going to bring you along with them, because some of these brands are not going to bring you along with them. Even if you own the NFT, they don't care. And therefore, the price is going to go to zero. It is going to do what Stapleverse did. I have a Gary V one that I sent you there of his eBay of those cards.
So those cards just showed up at my mom's house. I didn't even know if I paid for them. Did he just send those to you? Those I don't think I paid for them.
Are you talking about the box? There's boxes of like Series 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
And those, if you get a rare one, those things are selling. Like I was looking on eBay and Signal brought it up. Like they're selling. And the version one from, they were like an auction back in the day. If you held VFriend stuff, the auction cleared at $2,150 and those things are selling today for $3,600. So it's just interesting. Like he has a lot of stuff going on, but some of his physicals, like he's a big card guy. Like he was huge into sports cards. Some of that stuff is actually carrying on, but you can see the eBay listings is the other thing I posted there. And they're selling like you're getting sales on one of ones, individual cards, unopened boxes. So it's just like, I'm not a huge Gary V person. I don't invest a lot in it, but like those Uno packs are selling, the individual cards. Like if you get a rare, like
people in the audience, did I pay for these? These showed up in my house. Did I pay for these or what? How did these end up in my house? Cause I don't remember.
I think it's a perk of a V Friends too. I honestly think it's like one per V Friends too. Again, I'm not in the ecosystem, but yeah, this guy's saying he made $749 on eBay for VFriends cards. So he's just
yeah,
like,
that's Luke, our video editor. Shout out Luke, my guy.
Cool. Like that's the sort of, there are things about Gary V that I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm on the fence about, but at least when it comes to him understanding, like if I made these NFTs, that is now my people and I have to bring them along. I have to try to make stuff, whether it's physicals or other, you know, utility, like he takes it personally.
Yeah, people are telling me, I think what it is that I minted VFriends 2, which is true. I did. I minted 3 VFriends 2, so it makes sense that I have 3 boxes of them or whatever. I think that's the actual thing. Other jackass commenters are just going, you bought them. you bottom loser. I'm like, no, I didn't actually.
I bought the NFT, which I bought.
Yeah. Which you also made money on, well, maybe underwater in US dollar terms, even though it's still up 2x. But the other thing, yes, I did mint series two. There you go. But the last thing is these commenters, they're going to be big mad when I open one of those boxes and there's a rare in it and it's just game over, right? But Gary would tell you to hold them. The original V Friends 2 boxes, man, these things are selling though. You're not kidding. Like, damn.
Yeah, this
people love Gary V, man.
There's like one for 500. Oh, it's unopened. It's 190 there. 190, 200 for a green box. I mean,
I gotta get pictures of these things. I gotta see what the hell I got.
Yeah.
Press is smart. He's saying don't open the box. Let's go.
Yeah. So there's value to be had. If you have the right creator and you have the right people making physicals, there's value to be had for owning the NFT. You just gotta worry when potentially big brands are not going to take you along. They're just going to get you to buy stuff.
Well, I see these like people from outside the NFT space that have NFT collections, then turn around and do a brand deal on like their Twitter, you know, like, so it's like that didn't go to your NFT balance sheet. That went to like, you know, so-and-so, like their personal tax return is going to report that as income. You know what I mean? And it's just like, bro, like how many Joey Bada Boom saying, open it right now. It's at my mom's house, amigo.
Let's go, man. We got to have an unboxing teleport stream. Yeah. Let's do one of those card opening streams.
Maybe I will sacrifice it for a stream for sure. But anyway, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure that you sign up for FTX with our code, the Nifty, on your FTX mobile app or with the URL, thenifty.com/FTX. FTX is incorporating fractional shares stock trading without payment for order flow, so your trades will not be front run. That's in addition to having some of the cheapest fees in the game to buy crypto assets like Solana, Ethereum, and others. There's some really cool perks on the different FTX platforms, considering they're for traders by traders. Sam Bankman Fried is basically propping up the entire crypto space right now. So you already know that you got to do it. Hope you enjoyed the show. Shout out to Micah for joining us. Informative as always. We will catch you guys next time.
Later.